Good afternoon, everybody. It's February 22nd. I should say good evening to my co-host Corne. Welcome to another episode of our Dorky Mets show. How are you doing today, Corne?
Doing well, excited for the show. Lots to talk about what happened in the recent week. And excited for Mets baseball, man.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to see some spring training. So before we begin, though, I have to ask you a question, Corne.
Go ahead.
When you go to the ballparks, right? And when you come visit here, what's your favorite food that you buy at the stadiums?
Maybe this is a little bit boring, but I love hot dogs. I love hot dogs over here
Yeah,
in the
you like the
Netherlands.
premium ones in City Field, like the premium sausage ones, or just regular hot dogs?
Just regular hot dogs. Those are the best.
Yeah, well,
The Nathans are really good. It's typical New York, so that's also a plus. I mean, getting a hot dog for a dollar in the city is pretty awesome. Just love them. I love the we in the Netherlands we have what's called knakworst, and it's about the same but smaller. And I always have a couple of those in the cabinets in my home because I never know when I have my hunch for knakworst, so to speak. So it's something you guys learn a Dutch word, a kind of sausage. But what looks like a hot dog, so
yeah,
yeah,
I'll
hot
have
dogs.
to Google that.
Well, yeah, it's actually just a little bit smaller hot dog type of thing, so it's not that interesting. Just it just you know it's just a little bit little slight difference
Right.
than you used to, but for the rest it's about the same.
Huh. Have you ever had any of the other American type of hot dogs, like chili dogs or what they call Michigans?
No, chili dogs I
Oh.
have. I'm not a big fan of putting chili
Well.
on my hot dog, but
Well.
just mustard and ketchup I love.
So if you go to, I think, Michigan, if you ever go, to Detroit, when I went to the Tiger Stadium, there was a few places that had these gourmet hot dogs, and you should try it out if you ever go there. You should try out their hot dogs. It's very, you can have everything on it, but
Sounds good. Sounds good. Simple is sometimes better, though, but sounds good.
yeah. Well, that's good to know. Let's
What
start with
about
our show.
you?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was hoping I could get away with not answering that. No, so the honestly for me, it's the weirdest food that I had that I actually enjoyed was when I went to Seattle to T-Mobile Park, and I had the crickets. They have like a spicy cricket, and it was fun to eat. But my favorite food at Citi Field has to be eating. I'd like the Shake Shack. I'm kind of boring, I guess, but Shake Shack and the Blue Smoke next to it, to get some brisket. So.
Yeah, I heard a lot of things about Shake Shack, but mostly, after I watch the ballpark and walk around and be at the shops, the lines at Shake Shacks are crazy that I just go,
Yeah.
sit down, get a hot dog, or find something to eat what's
Well,
quicker. Because when I'm at the ballpark, for me, I never leave my seat. I mean, I travel for like 8 hours, stay in hotels just to watch the Mets. Flying—it's also no, yeah, it's not that cheap, so to speak. So when I'm at the Mets stadium, I don't want to miss any pitch of the ball game. So standing in line at Shake Shack for me is just, although I heard it's really good, it's a waste of time for me.
Yeah, I mean, Blue Smoke next to it is also kind of loud. I believe it's called Blue Smoke, but it's like a barbecue place. They also have pretty good food there too, so. You can go
All
check
right.
that out. There's lots of great places to eat in City Field, I would say.
Yeah. I
You're
have to try
making me hungry. You're making me very hungry here.
that. Well, let's go then with what we wanted to talk
So today's episode, we're going to discuss, we're going to start with talking about stats versus feel, right? So in other words, we shouldn't take stats for granted. We stats tell us something and we shouldn't ignore it, right? Some people feel like, oh, we shouldn't follow stats. We should follow just by looking at the player, how they do.
Yeah, exactly. And I have had this discussion on Facebook a couple of times with a couple of people. And it's one thing that always kind of bugs me when people say, well, you should watch the guy play. And there are only, in my honest opinion, I can see, I can watch, I only watch the Mets every game. And it's not like I will watch every will watch the Nationals or any other team every game. So if the Mets make an acquisition and you look at stats, it's a bit annoying that people say, well, you have to watch that player when they are Mets fans. Because I think when they say that, they probably only watch the highlights, and the highlights don't tell the full story. Wilmer Flores can make terrific defensive plays. He has made them. So yeah, highlights are only the good things. So to truly evaluate a player by using your eye test, it's we can only do that if we watch a player play every day. I can say more about it, but I want to let you go first.
No, oh yeah, no, it's fine. I agree with you. I mean, they're called, web gems and the replays that we see, they're not going to show us the bad ones, like it'd be boring if we see every time, there was a misplay. We don't want to see that. What's exciting is the great plays, the running, the action. The bloopers, some of them are funny, right? Like when Cologne kicks it off his leg and somehow throws the guy out. That's fun to watch. But we don't see all the videos highlights don't always show us the true defensive abilities of a player. It's flawed, like you said, right? So
Yeah, exactly. And not only. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
no, you're good. You guys gonna say go on.
Oh, and it's not only that. It's also, when watching on TV, there are a couple of things that you won't see on TV that are important. I think this will be a terrific bridge. But Kevin Pillar is a guy who everybody says he's a really good center fielder, and one that's because people have seen him make highlight reel plays in like 2015 and 2016. He can still make the highlight plays, by the way, but that's what Mets fans who that's what Mets fans remember Pilar of that Gold Glove caliber defense he showed early in his career. But not only that, you but one thing he is not very good at is his reaction time to the batted ball. And that's a part of the game, of a part of the play that you can see, because in that reaction time the camera isn't at the center fielder yet. So we as fans see his route, and then, oh, he makes a diving catch, and obviously a diving catch is exciting. I mean, I think a diving catch is exciting, but sometimes you don't need a diving catch to maybe make that play. Another player maybe would cover that ground better, or had a better route, or had a better reaction. And that's why Derek Jeter got gold gloves early in his career, while being a very bad defender. He had so limited range, but he made up for it with, yeah, the jump throws, the pretty, the highlight plays he made, but that didn't make him a good defensive player. And Pilar has a bit of that same, not as drastic, but a little bit of that same in him in center field.
I believe it was you who wrote about him and saying that he's a hard-nosed player. So you describe him, right? And he definitely has a lot of, when he goes chase the ball, he definitely throws himself out there. But like you said, it's that reaction time is really important. The instincts to know as soon as the ball is hit where your body needs to move. And we see this all the time, right? With guys who don't have that reaction and they'll overrun the ball because, or they'll, excuse me, they won't get to the ball in time because they initially kind of did a little shuffle to the right or something instead of going to the left. Little things like that. 1 second, just 1 second of a misstep, or maybe even like a half a second, where you have to kind of think about where your body needs to be, and that's it. You missed the ball, and the opposing team might have scored a few runs because of this. Now he does have speed, sprint speed, which is great. So he gets to the ball, but if he misplays it, misreads the ball initially, then that could be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. He had a difficult time going back on balls, and I mean that's mainly because his reaction to the batted ball wasn't good, and it hasn't been good for years. So that's, when that got worse, his outs above average also got worse. So those two come together, and you can say, well, eye test, watch him play, he's better than Nimmo. Well, Nimmo is maybe is not the best example of a good center fielder, although according to outs above average, they were about the same over the last 2 years. Well, honestly, if I watch Nimmo and Pilar play, I think my eyes tell me that Pilar is a better center fielder, but that isn't just really the case if you look at outs above average.
And another thing about Pilar is I believe he was playing mostly right field. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? So in the last year,
Yeah, these
so
days.
there's definitely, right, he's definitely diminishing his ability to play center fielder, which it's something you got to think about when the Mets sign him. Maybe he's more of a right field depth or something, or
Well, I see him.
I don't know. What do you
I
think?
see him as a well. We're moving on to our next. We could, I think this is a nice way to go on. But yeah, Pilar. When I heard the Mets sign Pilar, I thought because I wrote an article earlier that the Mets shouldn't go after Pilar, but that was mainly because the Mets need center field depth. But with Almora and Malik Smith, maybe they saw Pilar as a guy who could play some center field when needed, but is more of a corner guy, and I'm fine with him being more of a corner guy, being more of that, fourth outfielder type guy, instead of Jose Martinez on the bench. But if you have Pilar on the bench and Jose Martinez on the bench, and you don't have Almora on the bench, I think that would be an issue if with your current state of the outfield defense we have in the everyday lineup.
I mean, that's basically what the whole thing is to add depth. And I think the Mets did add Almora. I think he's going to be mostly a center fielder. But we also need to add. And one thing about Pilar is his abilities to hit. He's not going to be in the starting lineup, right? He'll be like against lefties. He's okay, but against righties, he's kind of struggles a bit. His numbers are just kind of weird, right? It's just his on base percentage, I'm not a big fan of. I'm a big OBP guy. So when you're getting a guy like Pilar, yeah, you could see his bat. He does have a great batting average, considering that he doesn't really walk too much. It's weird. I would expect him to have a higher on base percentage, but that's not the case with him.
No, he's a bit of a, put the ball in play type of guy. and no strikes,
Yeah.
no walks. I mean, it could be very useful on the bench to have a guy who, if you need a guy who needs to make contact, in sacrifice situation, sacrifice fly situation, or needing a he has the speed to beat out a ground ball. That could help, and I think that's useful on the bench. We also have Guillaume on the bench, who's more of an on-base percentage guy. So, I mean that fits all right in that department.
Yeah. They, like you said, there it is a nice bench guy to have. And I think some people need to keep that in mind is that Pilar is not gonna, more than likely, he's not gonna be a starting guy unless in spring training he kind of stands out and starts playing, getting his on base percentage up and making, great defensive plays and stuff. I really just don't see him being the starting center fielder, and we shouldn't be. I don't know, some people they feel there's mixed feelings, right? There's both. Some people see him as a great defender, and some people think he's a horrible defender, and they don't understand why we signed him. But I want to see how it plays out. I'm curious about Pilar. I like Pilar. I think it's a. At first, I wasn't for it, but the more I think about it, I feel like, you know what? Maybe he has some sort of aspects to his game, and I think you wrote about this too, is how he the chemistry that he brings and that like leadership, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's important to have on the team, and I'll let you talk more about that since you wrote an article about it, so
Well, one thing I compared him a little bit about with although I have a much bigger love for Kadir in that spot, but I compared him a bit with Michael Kadir. The guy who gives energy, the guy who Pilar. Like you mentioned, he plays hard, and there's no doubt about his effort. See how he responds on Twitter, how he loves to be with the Mets. You get that type of enthusiasm on your bench, and I think that's important for a bench guy. It's important for a guy who's sits there most of his days. Poor Pilar, by the way, but who sits there most of his days? It's important
right.
to pump up those guys who grind it out every day, and also he's a guy who grinds it out when he plays. He won't hate when or be down if he doesn't play. I think he knows his role on this team, and yes, that's not a starting player, and in that it's a difficult job to be a bench guy, and. I think him and Pilar and Vilar in this case, I think they both, personality-wise, are very suited for a bench role. And I think that's the type of thing, although we are the Dorky Mets show, we can put into stats. And I think it is very important.
Yeah, that's true. There's no stat that tells you like how enthusiastic a player's energy is that can pump up. That would be a cool stat to see, right? Like a morale meter or something. Because if that's the case, I'm sure that guys like Todd Frazier would be in the 99th percentile.
Definitely, definitely.
But it is important, because our main thing of the show is about the stat versus field, and it's not always about stats. You can't Francisco Lindor, and I know I'm backtracking a little bit, but I wanted to say this earlier. Francisco Lindor today in his interview, he mentioned that how, being overly analytical is a flaw. These are not his exact words, but it's what he's saying. It's just like you can't be over analytical about everything, like that you can't depend too much about. You can't go crazy and obsess. Like there's an aspect of the game where, if you're like the Rays, for instance, and you take Blake Snell out because of analytics tells you and you lose the game, it's just, maybe it's a bad thing to be too analytical, and you have to kind of have some kind of feel. And I know that that goes against what I talked about earlier, but I'm not saying that's always the case. I'm saying there's some aspects where you have to use kind of common sense. It's like if a pitcher is pitching like he's never had before, it's a playoff game. I know what the analytics tell you, but at least leave him in there for a couple more batters. And if he starts to struggle, then you can pull him out, you know? What do you think about that?
Well, analytics is a tool to use, and you're still working with humans, and you're still working with players with feelings, players with, if you are on top of your game in the Snell case, if you are on top of your game in a very, very important game, and you feel like you have a lot left, and you see the manager walking towards you to pull you, I mean that would make me mad, and that would give some can give some bad chemistry later. Well, now eventually got traded, so Cash and his analytical squad dodged the bullet over there. But yes, that's, I mean, yeah, I like analytics. I think a team should use it as a tool, and a team knows better what type of personalities they wanted to bring in, and what type of aspects of the game they wanted to bring in. Do they wanted to bring in Villar, for example, mostly for his speed? Yeah, that could be. Then you can look at all the other analytics and think, well, yeah, maybe they didn't find that important as we as fans do. So as fans, I think if you add a player to a deal, then it's good to really look at analytics. And also as a team, by the way, don't forget that that's really still very important. But the team has to, yeah, they have to work with the humans and with personality. And that's, and, a team full of stars doesn't always win World Series or with world championships. It's a full package, and there's analytics a part of, but it's not 100%.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, where I was getting at with this is that sometimes there's this energy, this morale, the chemistry. Those are stuff that we can't really gauge. Or if let's say a guy has a streak, has a red hot bat, and he's just like crushing the ball. You got to kind of step back a little bit. It's like, yeah, I know what the numbers are telling me, but this guy right now is on fire, and pitchers are afraid to pitch against him right now. Let's let him just take this at bat.
Yeah.
There's things like that where we have to kind of consider in the game. And I agree with Lindor's that you can't be over analytical. You need to have some kind of human nature element to the game. Otherwise, we'll just be robots.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm gonna get into our next subject because I think analytics is interesting with the next guy we're gonna talk about. Is the Mets found themselves a number four, number five starting pitcher. And when you look at the numbers for Walker, you're just like, he's okay. But there's more to it, right, Corne?
Well, you can go first about your thoughts about Walker, if you want.
Yeah. So my initial reactions when they signed him, Thuan Walker, is just that there's nothing exciting to me about his numbers. But then I started thinking about, well, we don't need him, Walker, to be an ace, right? We have DeGrom. We have guys like Stroman and Carrasco who will strike guys out and stuff. And what Walker brings is the stability, right? You need it's a again, we're gonna go back to this puzzle piece. You need to have this one guy in that rotation that's gonna be able to throw innings and not give up too many runs. And that's, to me, that's all Walker is. It's just that guy who you can plug in the rotation to help your team win without expecting to see, 15 strikeouts per game. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, was Walker on my top priority list before this offseason started? No, he wasn't. The Mets added a couple of very good arms in a qualifying offer accepted by Stroman and Carrasco in the trade. So at that point, the Mets needed to get a back-end rotation guy. And Taijuan Walker is an interesting guy because if you look at all his Statcast numbers, I've seen the tweets with his percentiles. But every year since, and he's been in the majors for parts of 8 years. Yes, he had Tommy John, but he's been in the majors for parts of 8 years. So it's not a small sample size. And every year he has a higher expected ERA than his actual ERA. And to me, that shows that, yes, you can look at his expected ERA and say, well, that's expected of him to have a 4 points, blah, blah, blah ERA. But if it's a thing that comes back, I don't know if getting the American word what I wanted to say, but if it is things that keeps occurring, thank you. It's not luck anymore. There is something why he prevents runs, and that's what he. I mean, a 3.86 ERA over his career. That's pretty good. That's pretty darn good, and that's what he has done. He's coming off a 2.70 ERA season. But I'm expecting him to be around at 3.86 rather than his 2.70 ERA. But that's pretty darn good for your fourth or fifth guy in your rotation. So yeah, I love the signing. He's fairly young. I mean, 2 years, 20 million is peanuts if you compare to a lot of other starters what they got. And he seems like a very good dude. So, all in all, I think it's a pretty darn good signing.
It's good. It gives us a fallback option just in case the Mets can't extend or re-sign Stroman and or Syndergaard, right? Because we're going to be missing two guys next year. We potentially can miss out both of them, is what I'm saying. So adding excuse me, Walker for such a cheap deal is a It's a really good thing for them to have that safety. I like having a safety net, and I think that's what they did with this deal.
And don't forget, we have Lucchesi for next year. I mean, we have a couple of guys who are still on the contract for next year, so they have set up pretty nicely to at least be able to fill up one of the two. Because I do believe the Mets will end up signing one next year. One starter, but that's my gut feeling, one of the two. But yes, it's a very smart move to give him a second year. And I think he wanted a second year as well. So it's a win-win for both.
Yeah, but it's really cheap too. And the jersey that he's going to be wearing, I'm excited about because we have not seen this since Wendell, right? Turk Wendell, 99 is wearing.
Yeah, I've never seen a Met wear 99 except in spring training, obviously. So, yeah, that's it's
Yeah.
pretty cool.
Do you remember Turk Wendell with his little shark teeth and
Well,
he was a
that was all before I
huh?
became a fan. I became a fan in 06. So, no, yeah, I've
Okay.
watched some clips of him, so I know about the guy. But and I know he was
He was a f
an odd dude.
So real quickly, why we loved him. He was very superstitious about things. He had like his baseball, but he was just brought this fun. You know how us Mets fan love guys like Jerry Blevins because they're
Yeah.
goofy, right? That's the type of guy that Wendell was. So it's exciting to see that somebody is going to wear that. And I think Wendell gave him the seal of approval or something along those lines, if I read the Twitter's correctly.
That's pretty cool.
He seems like I've always pictured him like kind of a boring guy, but he seems like there's there's some personality to him. He's really excited about being a New York Met. So was Yamamoto too. I know we didn't include this in our lineup for today, but Yamamoto is really excited because I didn't even make the connection about being a Hawaiian a pitcher. So the guy idolizes, Darlin. And that's cool. That's cool to have that. I'm really excited about this team.
Yeah, the,
Where? Sorry, go ahead.
well, every I mean, obviously every player who signs with a new team is trying to show their fan that they are excited. I mean, Todd Frazier sent out a tweet that he was excited to join the Pirates. Well, I think Todd Frazier rather wanted to be in another team, but hey, so, but this does feel a little bit more different. I mean, a guy like Walker, who's it goes a little bit further than a tweet. Hey, I'm excited to be a Met. If they do that, then it's fine, and they can move on if they aren't excited. But it's the, the Taiwan Walker asking Mets fans what number he wants to wear, the Tom Seaver wine that he shared. It's Pilar who's getting a lot of tweets out there. It's Yamamoto who's doing the same thing with that little clip of him in the photo booth. It's all that type of small tweets that shows that this team is really excited for this year. And I think they have really found a good core of very fun baseball and exciting baseball players together. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's definitely funny. Sorry, I was looking at Yamamoto's Twitters, and his wife is a Yankee fan, and she tweeted like, "Let's go Mets" to him. So he says something along the lines, "We're like, oh, it's that's funny considering you were a lifelong Yankee fan, So little things like that is fun to see. If you don't follow players on Twitters, it's I recommend it because you see a little bit more of like their goofy side on Twitter, especially guys like Yamamoto and Walker. They're more engaging to me, I feel like, on Twitter with the fans, and you get to know the player a little bit better, their personal side, because they're not all robots, they're humans.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We have some cool
Yeah, we
personalities in the Mets. Some nice guys, some good dudes, some outspoken dudes. We have a good mix, and I think that's really, yeah. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I mean, spring training is when's the first game? Is coming up, was it March
March
1st?
1st, next week.
And we did our little round table, and you, me, and Jim, and yeah, we talked about who we're excited to see. But before we close, I just want to talk about I wrote about seeing PCA Pete Crow Armstrong, but I also equally want to see Brett Batty, because is it Batty or Beatty? I always mess up his name. I want to call him Batty because he's such a big, strong bat.
I think it's Beatty, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep calling him Batty just so you guys know, just because of his power. But before spring training last year, he kind of got buffed, after he got drafted, and he reported to camp buffed. So I'm kind of excited to see him now, see if he's like this giant Hulk guy, and I want to see how he's able to handle advanced pitching.
Yeah, most
How about you?
responding on Batty first. Mostly power hitters, I'm a little bit worried in their first, taste of upper level pitching and high prospect pitching, because power guys, I mean, power mostly shows later. We've seen that with Giménez during spring, that he mostly hits singles. We see that with Mauricio. Those aren't really power bats, but I'm a little bit worried that he will swing and miss a lot this spring, which is fine. I mean, it's a young dude and he needs to develop. So, I mean, it's good for him to have that taste of the big leagues. And if he performs, I don't expect him to do that well this spring, which again is fine, but it makes me not really looking forward to him. I look more forward to, if Mauricio gets the next step going after a couple of pretty good springs, if he can tap into a little bit more driving the ball. And I want to see him play defense because I haven't seen him play defense in spring training yet. So I'm very curious what they're going to do with him, having Lindor at short also. And I love pitching, man. So Matthew Allen, that's my guy to watch. I want to see that hard fastball, that power curveball. I'm really looking forward to Matt Allen and how he can handle big league batters. So that's what I'm most excited for.
Right. And I want to remind our listeners that, we write at MetsJunkies.com. So Corne is actually going through this series of where he talks more about these guys that he just mentioned. So if you want to read more about that and about the roundtable that we came up with, you can go on MetsJunkies.com and you'll see the materials that we put out on there. So please, follow us there, and we're also on Twitter, so you can always engage with us and ask us, what you want to see more of. Same thing with my personal Twitter, it's Mets Hangout. Corne, I'll let you tell yours because I'm going to mess up your last name, so.
Yeah, I'm going to spell it out. So it's at Corne Hogeveen, Corne, and then Hogeveen is Hogeveen. Maybe you can find me in Mets Fan from Holland, so maybe that will work. So one of the two, you can find me on Twitter, and I love to Twitter to get some. Get some responses on this podcast and what we can talk about next week. I do have an idea, but
Yeah. Oh, are we going to tease a little bit? What are you thinking about? Or you want to do this offline?
let's do it offline. But I think I have a pretty good idea. So it's a bit of a tease, but it's also a tease for you.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, it means our listener is going to have to tune into the next one and find out.
Exactly.
Well, Corny, it's been great. I had a fun time doing the show with you. Our buddy Jim was going to join us, however, he couldn't. But we do hope to have him on our show one of these days. But you can always listen to the Mets Junkies podcast, which Jim has done a remarkable job at putting out, content there with other podcasters and writers. So please, and you can follow him at the Brooklyn Poet,
No, it's the Brooklyn
right?
Gem.
The Brooklyn Gem. There you go.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, well, I know it's late for you.
But I'm still sharper than
I know it's
you.
late for you, so
That's a bad thing for you that I'm still sharper at almost night.
you're, what's
And
that?
I'm still sharper than you.
Oh yeah. You are. There's no doubt about that. You put out great stuff on Twitter, so that's it for today. Do you have anything else to say to our listeners before we log off?
Let's enjoy spring training. Let's enjoy the Mets this year. Let's go Mets. And thank you, Dale. Thank you, Jim, for having us on Mets Junkies. We definitely appreciate that we are able to put out our content and to have a place where we can give our opinions. And I'm loving this, dude. So let's do this again fairly soon if work allows me. And do a next dorky podcast together.
All right. Sounds good. Well, have a good night. Thank you for listening to Dorky Mets
Thank you
Show.
for listening.